This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Whether they're tradesmen in Caracas or jet-setting elite in chic Buenos Aires, Latin Americans face many common problems of governance and poverty in the 21st century. This week, NPR is exploring what works and what doesn't by profiling some of Latin America's major cities. Today, the focus is on Guatemala, known as the land of eternal spring for its agreeable weather. But the country's political climate is decidedly nastier. For nearly two centuries, Guatemalan history has been marred by bloodshed, coups, and authoritarian governments led by populist strongmen known in Spanish as caudillos. NPR's Jerry Hedden reports.
One morning 50 years ago, unmarked warplanes suddenly appeared on the Guatemala city horizon. They buzzed the capital, then bombed its sprawling military fortress known as Matamoros. The attack marked the beginning of an all-too-common occurrence in the largest of Central America's capitals, a coup d'état. 87-year-old law professor Alfonso Bauer, a thin man with blue eyes and a checkered cap, remembers the attack each time he strolls past this fort to the university where he still teaches.
Entonces, los aviones que venían...
The approaching planes have taken off from Honduras. It was there that the United States had trained the mercenaries. Hardly anything actually happened, but the press was publishing all type of things. There was tremendous uncertainty in the air.
Today, Matamoros still serves as Guatemala City's main base and as a symbol of military dominance in a country where a few rich families have ruled over millions of mostly poor Indians since the days of colonial conquest. Oligarchies throughout Latin America have long resisted the development of democratic institutions, seeing them as a threat to their near-absolute control. Their main tool to preserve their dominion has been the caudillo. Guatemala's last true caudillo was General Efraín Ríos Montt, who took power in a coup in 1982 at the height of Guatemala's 36-year-long civil war, which ended in 1996. Ríos Montt, fighting landless peasants in the name of the rich, used to speak regularly on national television to drum up support for the war. Communists, listen up, he said. Where do property rights stand under your system? Where is equality as guaranteed under the law? Our right to economic freedom. Today, free enterprise is safe, but the traditional fault lines in Guatemala's divided society still leave poor citizens feeling helpless, the victims of crime and a corrupt justice system. In Guatemala City's colonial center, an Indian man dressed as a white cow runs through the narrow streets, carrying on his shoulders a wooden frame laden with firecrackers and sparklers. As they explode, he weaves back and forth, making young kids shriek and startling the mostly Mayan street vendors who crowd the cracked sidewalks. Behind him follows a procession of poor-looking Guatemalans carrying a statue of the Virgin Mary. This Christmas tradition is meant to usher in a better year. Better to ask the Virgin for help than the authorities, says a stout Mayan vendor named Marta Mexicanos. Dressed in a traditional woven blouse of white and bright red, Mexicanos is selling Christmas lights nearby. She says gangs of thieves are constantly robbing the capital's residents.
The cops must be somewhere else, because here you don't see any authorities. Guatemala lives off us Indians, so we should be appreciated more. We are the forgotten people.
From where Mexicano sits, Guatemala City sprawls in a long, congested grid of cinderblock houses and small buildings. Except for the center with its neoclassical cathedral and palace, and one neighborhood of modern malls and hotels known as the Alive Zone, the rest of the city is run down and nondescript. It is young by Latin American standards, founded only in 1776. Earthquakes destroyed Guatemala's first two capitals, so it lacks the colonial grandeur of Lima or Mexico City. Today, Guatemala City's streets are filled with Indians selling their wares. Many have fled rural poverty for this urban equivalent. Mayan leader Cirilo Pérez Oxlach says though the country is at peace, his people remain marginalized and deeply scarred by the Spanish conquest.
Adelante nosotros quemaron nuestros abuelos. Adelante nosotros violaron nuestras mujeres.
In front of us, they burned and hung our grandparents, raped our wives. They slit open the bellies of our pregnant women. Whoever opposed them was quartered by horse. It's impossible to forget this black cloud.
Democracy, he says, cannot truly take root until the traditional power structures are dismantled. Those powers have been linked to narco-trafficking and the murders of human rights activists. Many Latin Americans, from Argentina to El Salvador, partly blame the U.S. for their weak institutions, arguing the U.S. undermined legitimately elected governments to thwart communism or to protect U.S. businesses. In Guatemala, the 1954 coup was orchestrated by the CIA to protect the holdings of banana giant United Fruit Company. Outside the National Palace, one old man remembers the coup well. 77-year-old Efrain Valencia has been selling birdseed here to passersby for decades. He says the loss of democracy was a sad moment for Guatemala, but a moment later he turns nostalgic for the days when a strong caudillo ruled the nation in the 1930s.
Estaba yo muy chiquito, mire, cuando estuvo un gobierno militar que le decían Jorge Ubico.
I was just a little kid when Jorge Ubico's military government was in power, he says. One could sleep out here exposed in the open in those days. But today, you'd wake up naked. They'll steal your shoes right off your feet. Why? Because of the hunger we have today. Guatemala City's official historian, Miguel Alvarez, says Valencia's nostalgia is not uncommon, especially during tough times, in a country long dominated by strongmen. As we say in Guatemala, we are a people motivated by the stick. We like having a caudillo behind us, forcing us down the path. This is part of our unique and painful history. We're used to having somebody tell us how things should be done. That's our problem. The real danger, analysts say, is the people losing faith in democracy if their young, fragile governments fail to reduce poverty, corruption, and crime. But there are signs that Guatemala's fledgling democracy is beginning to bear fruit. The courts have just convicted the first high-ranking military leader of a wartime atrocity, and cultural life, long repressed by caudillos, is slowly beginning to stir. Above the downtown post office, in a large wooden-floored hall, a small group of actors has just finished staging Peter Weiss's revolutionary play Marat Saad, a treatise on the abuses of power. Theater troupes are rare here. Avant-garde performances unimaginable. 22-year-old director Flor Armas, a skinny young woman with black glasses and ponytail, says Guatemala's strongman rulers used to exile or murder critical artists. But since peace came to the country 8 years ago, she says, the state has grown more tolerant of dissenting voices.
No nos estén reprimiendo tanto, ¿verdad? Como pasó en esos años de guerra o en esos años.
I don't think we're being oppressed now, at least not like in the times of war. But if we don't watch it, it could reach the point where they detain us. We thought we'd go to jail for what we were doing, but we didn't care, because we are those people in the play, and we wanted to show the people, to say, don't be fooled.
Arma says on the opening night of Marat Saad, just 3 people came, but she hopes it's a start. Jerry Haddon, NPR News.
Tomorrow, earning a living in the streets and under the table in Venezuela's capital, Caracas, where petrodollars are no longer enough to power the economy. Links to the Latin American Network Information Center are at npr.org.